WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Lots going on in the world of aviation and travel this week. Let's bring in Brian Summers, who's the business aviation editor at skift.com. Brian is with us from Los Angeles this morning via Skype. Brian, I want to begin with United Airlines, the hometown airline here. Lots of positive news out of United. They're making money. Things seem to be going smoother. Let's begin with your take on United and how things are happening there.
Yeah, United is doing very well. Some of the news of the past couple of years has gone away. They're treating passengers a little bit better. And more importantly, they're making a lot of money. They were set up for a pretty good fourth quarter a couple of months ago when people may remember fuel prices spiked. So a lot of airlines did get nervous. United a little bit cut capacity. They also added an extra fee, more money for each checked bag. And, you know, lo and behold, there's this interesting thing in the airline industry. Fuel prices go up, as they did a couple of months ago, and then sometimes they go down. So United, like a lot of U.S. airlines, had prepared for fuel that was up, say, 40% year over year, because that's what it was in October. We're here at the end of November, and guess what has happened, Steve? Fuel has fallen. And it has fallen to below its October peak. So it is cheaper than it was before it spiked. That's going to mean a lot more money for all airlines, including United. And I think the folks at United feel pretty good about this.
Yeah, and the story you wrote about this, about United specifically, it's not just that they're doing well across the board, but their premium service is up. People are flying to China and other countries. China, especially because of the trade war, seems like a surprising thing. But everything is good at United.
Yeah, there's this word that all airlines use to describe demand when they're really happy. They say demand is robust. And that's what's going on here. I mean, I know the stock market has fallen a little bit recently, but the bottom line is that people feel pretty flush right now. A lot of folks want to travel. Businesses are allowing people to travel. They're even allowing people increasingly to travel in premium cabins, first class, business class, premium economy. And that just means so much money for airlines. And things are probably as good as most living airline executives have ever seen. Covered a investor conference this week. United Chief Commercial Officer Andrew Nocella spoke, and he's a lot like most airline executives. And I guess every morning, not long after he wakes up, he looks at the overnight bookings or the bookings for the last couple of days to see how they have done. And he said it's really an exciting time to wake up every morning and look at those bookings. So it's probably a good time to be an investor in an airline. So your follow-up question will probably be, well, what about passengers? And look, you know, we've talked about this in the past. Fuel is a major cost for airlines. And when fuel costs go up, ticket prices go up. And the corollary is probably true. It's not going to happen right away because it takes some time to realign. But if fuel stays low right now, and it's so funny that we're talking about low fuel since a few weeks ago we were talking about high fuel, but people may see those great travel deals come back next year. Again, not right away, but maybe next winter or spring.
From the story still about United, what drew my eye was a piece, part of it that talks about the basic economy fare, and that most people who are buying United's basic economy fare are upgrading before they even get on the plane.
Well, what they're doing is actually they're seeing the basic economy fare. United is warning them about what it includes, and people may remember that this is United's very cheap fare that doesn't allow people to bring a large carry-on bag and put it in the overhead bins. And before they actually press buy, Steve, they're saying, you know what? I don't really want that. I want the regular economy fare, and I'm going to pay more for it. So United feels pretty good about that because they get people to buy up and not take the cheapest fare.
Are people actually taking that fare, though, or is that going to go away, do you think, that fare?
It's interesting that you ask. I guess about 30 to 40% of people are still buying that cheap, basic economy, no-frills fare. And United is the only major, well, they're actually the, yeah, they're the only major U.S. carrier to not allow people who buy that cheap fare to bring a bag for the overhead bins. American had a similar policy, and it walked it back earlier this year. It knew it wasn't very customer friendly, and it wanted its customers to be a little bit happier. So far, United has said, you know what, we're going to stay the course. This is the product that we designed. It's the product we want. We don't necessarily want people to buy the no-frills fare. And one reason to get them to buy up is to not let them bring a bag for the overhead bin.
Brian, let's move on to the Indonesia air crash. I'm going to do an update on that because I think a lot of people have been paying attention to this. It's hard to tell whether it's a problem with the aircraft or a problem with Indonesia's safety record.
Yes, we did get some new details this week on this Lion Air crash from the end of October. As you say, it gets very confusing. There were some questions earlier. People had asked, you know what, could something similar happen in the United States? Is this a problem with the airplane? Did Boeing not give pilots and airlines enough information on how the automated systems react? Was this really a Boeing problem? Did the automated system unexpectedly bring the airplane down? Indonesian authorities this week had a media briefing, and I am not necessarily an expert on this stuff, but it does seem, Steve, like something may have been off here, and it might be unique to Lion Air. So what the investigators said this week was that sensors on the airplane had been giving mistaken readings for the previous four flights on this airplane for both speed and altitude. And that is a little weird. And it's something that mechanics at most airlines would either find a way to fix or perhaps ground the airplane until they knew how to fix it. It doesn't seem like that was done here. Perhaps the right maintenance wasn't done, and Lion Air has reacted by saying it is improving its maintenance procedures, especially when it has these repeated problems that it can't fix. Boeing has come out and said the airplane is safe. I think U.S. Airlines believe the airplane is safe. So it'll be some time before we know exactly what happened here. But certainly, you know, a lot of these U.S. Airlines flies 737 MAX. I think people can be very comfortable to fly the airplane. There may have been something unique to Lion Air that caused this airplane to come down.
One of the other stories that you have written, it came in the Skift Airline Innovation Report. You're talking about airports and innovation, U.S. airports and innovation. What do you mean by innovation at airports?
Well, you know, that's probably an oxymoron to people most of the time, right? You don't think airports, you don't think innovation, especially, I don't want to make anybody mad here, but in Chicago, where you have the Chicago Department of Aviation, nobody has mistaken them for, you know, a spunky startup, right? Their job is to run a couple of airports, Midway and O'Hare, and they basically run them the way they always have, and the idea is to get the airplanes out and whatnot. But there are a few forward-thinking airports in the United States, and frankly, some of them are smaller than Chicago, right? Because they have to stand out a little bit more than say, O'Hare, which a lot of airlines want to serve. But one of the airports that I focused on was in San Diego. And they said, you know, we want more innovative companies to come to our airport. But it's really hard to get an airport contract because all of these airports are run by municipal and state authorities, and they move very, very slowly. They have a lot of bureaucratic rules. And so San Diego said, let's have a system where we can have a startup come in for 16 weeks and we can have them test what they do. And maybe after they're done here in San Diego, they can win contracts in other airports because now they have a track record. So one of the companies that I focused on is called At Your Gate. And I think it's kind of cool. Essentially, what they do is they have couriers in the airport, and they will go to a restaurant or maybe a shop, go pick something up for you. It's probably going to be food, and deliver it to you at the gate. And, you know, just like on Uber Eats or Postmates, you're setting all this up with your mobile phone, with a mobile app. And, you know, sometimes you have only a half an hour in the airport and you don't want to spend 20 minutes waiting in line, but you know when you're going to be in the airport. You can set this up a little bit in advance. And lo and behold, you can get a sandwich delivered to you at your gate. And you've saved a lot of time, and maybe you're going to get a meal when you otherwise couldn't. So I think that's very neat.
Yeah, that's a very cool idea. Brian, always good stuff from you. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is the aviation business editor for Skift.com. You can follow along at Skift on Twitter for Skift. And then Brian Summers can be found at Brian Summers on Twitter. And make sure you sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report as well, delivered to your inbox at Skift.com/airline.